Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
No, that was just on your phone.
Oh.
It's my guess. I didn't hear it, no.
Yeah, some of the other people did. So it wasn't just mine. It wasn't just my phone.
I don't know, I'm guessing.
I think it was E.T. trying to phone home.
Yeah. What, E.T. only got my line?
Maybe it is not even just your line, maybe it's just your ear.
That's right. He picked up on my vibration alone?
Yes, special.
Well, he's got a long ride ahead of him, because my brain doesn't stop.
I know, but it's okay.
Merry Christmas and have a great show. I know we're going to be live to take callers, so I'm ready for it.
We can hardly hear you, Don.
Right, Don.
That is PBS in the background.
Barely.
Huh.
Now I hear you well.
Now you're better.
Thank you very much. Same to you, brother. All right, so here we are, 3 minutes away from the hour. Wind will be here. My guess is within the next 2 minutes. They're back in Sedona. Right now we can talk over the music. That's cool, a new feature. When you start talking, the music stops.
It's not working.
But it's not working.
Not stopping.
For me, it stops on my line at least when I talk. I cannot hear the music.
Oh, well, it's coming through on my line.
Oh, is it? Okay. Hello, good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say a name and location.
This is Adam, Tennessee.
Hello, Adam. How are you doing tonight?
Great.
All right. Thank you for being here. All right.
Now it's quit.
Yeah, because I stopped it.
Oh. I was going to say, quit when Adam came on.
Yeah. Two dings at the same time. Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
My name is Dee Sushelsky. I'm calling from Atlanta, Georgia.
Hello, Dee. Good evening. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
For being here.
I'm very excited.
Great.
This is Don. Don in Northern Ohio. Hi, hi, everybody.
Hello, Don. Welcome to the call.
Thanks.
Thank you for being here.
Hey, Dominanda.
Hey, Dominanda. How you doing?
Hey, how you doing, Hus?
Doing fantastic. Thank you for being here.
Yeah.
Now, Dee.
Yes.
You've been with us before, right?
I get your emails. This is the first time I have enjoyed the conference call.
All right. A warm welcome to you. Thank you for being here.
I'm very happy. Thank you.
All right. And again, where are you located?
Atlanta, Georgia.
Atlanta. All right.
Atlanta, uh-huh.
Yeah.
And she's coming in here going, I came from Atlanta, Georgia, stepped in here, and it's quiet.
I'm curious, what do you do, Dee? I am a daycare teacher. I teach 14 2-year-olds every day.
Oh, my gosh. You sound like a broadcaster yourself.
I actually grew up in television in St. Louis in the pioneer days of television.
Ah.
So I sort of did that. I worked professionally until I was in my middle 20s, and I'm 61 now, but now I just kind of enjoy being silly with my children.
Ah, good for you. You don't sound a day over 25.
Oh, well, thank you very much.
Yeah.
We had a few more callers come in. Welcome to you all, and if you want, please say your name and location.
Hayes doesn't sound like he's over 25 either.
That's right.
Oh, maybe 29.
But Marilyn sounds like she's 32.
Oh, no. Now, well, actually, I tell, you know, I'm 61, but I tell everybody, reverse the numbers in my mind, I'm 16, so.
Yeah, exactly.
We had somebody else join in. Good evening. If you want to, please say your name and location. All right, then. So, Wynn, bonsoir.
Well, did you get my email today?
I said bonsoir.
The open mic? Okay. Yeah, we got it.
An open mic.
Yeah.
So now...
That's why I was talking.
All of you shy people get a chance to say something. Where is Terry? Right. Is Joe on the line?
Yes, he is.
Yes, I am.
Joe?
That's a...
So, you and Hayes and me are supposed to do this together, okay? We're going to be the lead.
Keep the lines clean.
Did you say the weeds? You're going to be the weeds?
Getting Terry on the ball. You know, hang on a second. We're going to start the tape recorder. I'd like to thank you. Wait a second. I'll say this when we start the recording. Hang on.
You want to start the recording?
This conference is being recorded.
Hey, this is December 23rd, 2013. Wynn in Arizona. Terry's not on the line, but when she is, she'll be in Arizona.
I'm here.
Oh, you're there.
I'm here.
Welcome. Yes. So, we have all the mics open. I want to thank all of you who sent me emails telling me how pathetic I sounded last week.
Oh.
Well, you know what? It's okay. What I realized, the challenge, hang on, I'll mute everybody for a moment. And, hang on. It's okay. You know what? I am proving that, you know, there are days when I show up and I'd say, if I had my choice, I'd rather not. I mean, there's something called processing where we really do create a group energy. And some of you are helping to hold that group energy. And some of you are getting lifted by that group energy. And some of you are learning how to hold that energy. And when you do a group energy, it may sound like it's entertainment. It sounds like Wynn's talking for an hour or the Elohim are talking. But in my experience, the truth is we are doing something called processing. We are becoming each other. And that can make one tired at the end, even though during the time of the call, we sound enthusiastic. We are still sometimes really tired. Now, I happen to be usually fairly good at being resilient. And And the reason is that I have learned to just give it up real fast. Let go. Elohim, take it. Ra, take it. Just send the energy to the higher realms so it doesn't get stuck on me. Last week, I was in Philadelphia, New Jersey with my family. And, you know, no one can trigger your old patterns like your family. You grew up with them. They programmed you. They impressed patterns on you when you were growing up. They're not bad. It's not bad. It's just everyone does the best they can, and that's just the natural way things work. And in my case, many of you understand this because you're still doing it. You have to somehow release yourself from those patterns. You don't want to be trapped in them for the rest of your life. And we all have that potential to be trapped to some degree or another. I mean, Kelly still talks about the time her mother sent her away and didn't want to bring her up. And Kelly, are you there?
I'm here. Yeah, it was like I made a mistake, and it's like all of a sudden she just totally turned on me, and I didn't know what was the matter, and so I got the idea, you know, I better not make a mistake.
But you know what? I really think that it's not arbitrary why you choose a certain family.
Right.
Most people at this level choose a family, and when you're there, you don't realize how tough it might be. But you still made the choice, and before you were in this realm, and I think that the stuff that has come up in your family is very much the stuff that you've probably been having for other lifetimes, and it's a chance to work it out. The bottom line is that in this lifetime, a little bit of intention goes a long way, and particularly because we have our group energy, and many of you have learned, you can come into the energy of these calls and things lift. Things go away. And if it's going away during the call, it means it's on its way to going away permanently. You're just learning how to leave it behind, leave that baggage behind, because you don't have to carry it. You don't have to. And I certainly did for a long time. And I mean, I went through years of self-rejection because my father rejected me. And, you know, it was like my shoulders were up to my ears. I was like, and you know, when you're in that space, you don't realize you're in it because that's the way it feels to be you. And, you know, this is a really important thing to get across, because when you think that's you, when you really identify with it, when you're used to it, it's a habit. You think that's you, and you'll just never shift. That's the way it feels. That's the way it looks. I'm sure many of you know what I'm talking about. And I had to go through myself a lot of stuff to get myself to get it all to shift. And it still comes back. And I was back with my family. And what does that do? It brings it all in again. It becomes like, there I am again. I come on the calls. You know, we did take two calls off while we were back. And I thank Heise and Joel and Carla for helping substitute. And actually, you know, it's good to do that. It's good, even if we're feeling good, to every so often let other people run a call. Because as I get it, what we're doing, it's bigger than me, it's bigger than Terry, it's bigger than you. We're setting a footprint into this realm. And if it all revolves around me, if I disappear, everything disappears. That doesn't continue. So other people, you know, sometimes people send me emails. So-and-so didn't do as good as you. You did better. But you know what? They're not understanding the nature of this. We are in a training ground. Me, you, Heis, Joel. What we're doing hasn't been done before. Do you realize that? You realize this hasn't been done in this realm? In this particular way, and we are in the middle of this shift, and we are standing in the middle of it. We are not being blown too much. We get blown. And what you're learning is how to stand in the middle of your shift and not get blown. Because the thing about it, it is like being in the center of a cyclone. And if you don't, once you get in the center, as soon as you move to the side, it's like, and then you have what people call attention symptoms or shift symptoms. And first, it's the learning of how to get into the center. And then it's the learning how to hold the space in the center. And all of you and all of me, I believe, are learning that. And I think we're doing a not too bad a job. But when I came in the calls, and I was really fatigued and really burned out, which I was, you know, it was okay because it was very interesting to me. There was one call where, geez, I was like almost half asleep. I was going into a trance, and my mouth was still moving, and I was listening to what it was saying, and it was all coming out really good. And I said, geez, how did I do that? I must be channeling because. Now, some of you picked up the fatigue that I was having, but at the same time, it was coming out really cogent, really together, and I don't remember what I said, but I could track it while I was saying it, and I was a very interesting experience because I was half asleep, and my mouth was still talking. There was no effort. It was just coming through. And so, you know, I think it's okay to go through that. You know, some people that need a change in their life have to go looking for a job, knocking on doors, looking for something that they don't have. And it is really hard to get started. And we are so attached to how we look to other people. We are so attached that we always want to look good. And then you sit around and don't do stuff because you're waiting for yourself to have a day that you look good. And I don't think that works because the actual doing of stuff starts to build the energy. And once the energy starts building, you start looking good. And it's kind of like you give a little, the world gives you a little back. You give a little, the world gives you a little back. Before you know it, you're in an interfacing situation between you and the world, and your inner energies are flowing. Your charisma is present. But when you are sitting around waiting for that, and I think some of you can probably relate to exactly what I'm talking about, then you might be waiting a long time. Now, there's a one stipulation. There are people out there that are just waiting to judge you. They're waiting to find things wrong with you. And on days that you're feeling funky, you shouldn't be around those people, because they will make you feel bad about yourself because they want to do that, okay? One person was sending me emails telling me, "Win, come on, get up, have a good time, go do this, go do that." And it's like, you know, if I responded to his email, I would have felt bad about myself. And I don't think that's what he intended. But he didn't realize that I was in the middle of a pretty intense personal situation, because I was back with my family and my nephew, my sister's son, has really serious cancer, and he may die. In fact, the doctors are saying he may die. In fact, just today I spoke with him, and I had him talk to a friend of mine who knows all these alternative things that can help cancer. And he finally listened, because I've been trying to get through to him for a long time. And then at some point in the trip, here I was back with my nephew and my brother-in-law and Terry. And like a joke, I said, "Joanne, are you there?" And suddenly Terry said, "She's here. She's saying hi." And so then I had to have a conversation with my sister, okay? And now, you know, this is like being in a science fiction movie. It never stops being a science fiction movie for me. And these voices come through. And when there's a change or a shift or something unexpected, I'm immediately on guard, because I'm thinking, maybe this is something negative. Maybe the reptilians are mocking this up to get my attention. And I've had that, so I know that can happen. And I know David Wilcock has had that. And it's not easy to identify that. It takes a lot of vigilance. Those of you that think you want a channel, I don't recommend it, because, you know, the first time you hear a voice talking to you, they'll say, wow, isn't this great? And there's a pretty good chance it'll be a negative source mimicking stuff. And be sure and test it. Don't ever let it inflate your ego or tell you you're special or whatever, because it is the way they work. And so every time I hear something new, I have my guard up. In fact, later on this call, I'm going to play something. I think I'm going to play it. If people get carried away, because I said it's an open mic tonight, if people get carried away and they're getting into it, I'm not going to play it. But if you guys, you know, don't talk, then I'll play it. And it's the time when this voice came through Terry and said it was Michael Jackson. And it took me about 2 weeks before I said, "Geez, I think it really was Michael Jackson." I'll tell you how I got convinced. But in the meantime, let me try opening the mics and see how much noise we have out there. And, you know, I put an invitation out for people that write, people that do poems, people that want to share an experience. You know, some of you, if you've had something work for you, like we talk about, you know, there's a lot of stuff that comes in on these calls, and a lot of different ways of approaching it. First, we have the energies of the higher realms, which are projected in the call, and whether they talk to us or not, those energies are usually available. And sometimes we focus on it, like on Sundays. If anyone's listening that hasn't come to our Sunday call, please go through our archives. We have really so many amazing things
on our in our archives, and you know, we're working on a project trying to organize them a little better, because making it easier for you to find what's important. And we have a new person coming in to volunteer who happened to be a hotel manager. And you know what? We need a hotel manager. You know, neither Kerry and I are, how can I say it? We're space cases. And hotel managers have to be not space cases to make a hotel run. And they also have to be very nice and very loving if they're really a good hotel manager. So hopefully this is going to help us put more stuff together, because there's more things to do than I can possibly do. And I'd like to thank Todd for coming forward, and we'll introduce him to you on one of the calls. He's a friend of Joel's in Chicago area. And let me see who's on the calls here. You know, I also sent out email that if you're listening on the internet, you can call up on BBS and they will patch you in. Let me see, I'll just announce the BBS number here. 888-529-5471. 888-529-5471 is BBS. And if you're on the conference call, you can talk. And, you know, if any of you have had a personal experience that you applied something that we said, or you had some miracle or some change in a relationship, this is a really great time to share it. And it's a great service to share it as well, because there's people here that you will inspire, and therefore you're doing a, you know, in the sense of a huge contribution. Now, I know that you're thinking, ah, this isn't important. That's not important. Like Sunday, a week ago, not this Sunday, but the week before, we had Jeff, who some of you heard on the call. I wasn't on that call, but I invited Jeff to call in because he had sent me an email. And this is like a beautiful kind of thing that happens to people. And I know Jeff felt like, I can't talk. Who am I? Jeff is a school bus driver in Minneapolis, I think it was. And his school bus was going through really dangerous neighborhoods. And the people on the bus were fighting with each other. They had knives. And Jeff was, like, every day going to work kind of a little bit nervous about his job. And so he emailed me about 6 months ago. I think he might have sent it in as a Wednesday question. And I suggested that he get on his bus early, call in the light, and these people, each person walks in the door, bless them, send light around them. And then he sent me an email and said, hey, my bus totally changed. And safe, you know, it's peaceful, it's safe, and it worked. And those are the kinds of stories that are really good to share, because there's people listening that say, I wonder if this works. I wonder if these guys are nuts. I wonder if this is just some kind of weird cult. And it's like your experiences that convinced me that it was not, and that we are really doing something unprecedented in this realm. And we are doing it. It's a co-creative action. And on that note, let me see if anyone talks. I probably scared everybody from talking. And they think, oh, Wynn is such a good talker. I'm not going to talk. I'm not going to say my story. Say your story, okay? Hang on.
Hello?
We are unmuted. Who is that?
Is it me?
Jan?
Hello?
Wait a second. You know what? I'd like you... Let me just see something here. I'd like you to do star six. The lady that's saying hello. Can you do star six? And then say hello, and I'll tell you when I hear you. We don't hear you yet. Are you there?
Okay. Hello?
We got you. Okay?
Oh, cool. Okay, this is Dee.
Hi, Dee.
Can you hear me?
I hear you loud and clear.
Okay, super. Okay, I'm the lady who teaches two-year-olds. And I've been meditating for 13 years. I've had some an accelerated path for about the last 190 days or so. I had some crisis in my family, crisis in my life, actually. And I was able to contact my, I don't know if you call spirit guide, Holy Spirit, whatever. I'm a student of A Course in Miracles. We call it Holy Spirit, who has led me through some very wonderful changes in my life, and I have really been transformed and I guess you might even say awakened. So, but I absolutely love meditating. I get up about 4 a.m. so I can meditate a whole hour before I go to school since I teach two-year-olds. You have to be very calm with your two-year-olds. So what I've started doing is teaching my two-year-olds to meditate. And can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you.
Okay, cool. Okay, I didn't know. Okay. And it's a wonderful thing to see two-year-olds sit there and take a breath and close their eyes. And of course, they have a very short attention span, so we do little short things. But for them to actually close their eyes, and then I take them through a little guided meditation where we pretend we see the clouds in the sky and we see kitty cats and, you know, and things that are on their level. And since I've started doing this, I have seen a big change in the temperament of my children. And when two-year-olds can get kind of crazy sometimes and get out of hand, and I can step into the room and they're all like, you know, monkeys climbing on the wall, and I can say, okay, let's stop and take a breath, and they all literally stop and take a breath, and it slows down everything. It's just an amazing thing to see, and I have had parents come in and ask me what we're doing because one of their children went in one time when one of the parents was having an argument with the other parent, and they noticed that their child was sitting in the corner and taking breaths. And I just think this is kind of a miracle in a way, and I think this is a wonderful thing that I feel very good about doing this for my children, my students, actually. You know, it's just sort of a miracle to me. So.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Sometimes when you say you're teaching your students to meditate,
yeah.
You know, there's more to it than that.
Right.
And because when you think of meditation, you think like you're teaching them a process
mm-hmm.
that is outside of yourself.
Right.
But what I get is you are the one who's holding the energy and holding the reference point, just as I do on this call.
Okay.
And you know, it's you. It's it's the energy working through you.
Right.
You're doing it, and you've made yourself clear enough so you can invoke the energy. And then when that creates the peacefulness, so when people shut their eyes and meditate, they're becoming... they're tapping into the energy that you're bringing down into the realm. So you can acknowledge yourself and don't think it's just a technique. It's not. It's you. I mean, that's my take on it anyway. That makes sense?
Yeah, well, and I kind of feel the same way, too. Channel, and you know, if you want to use the word, channeling the divine energy and sharing it with the children. So,
right.
I think that's a wonderful thing. I'm involved in the oneness meditation. I don't know if you're familiar with that.
That's Diksha.
Right, and
I get to.
I'm so excited. I get to be trained next month to be a Diksha blessing giver, and I'm very excited about that. And that's a process. Well, you want to call process of channeling divine energy to what the Diksha does, I'm sure you know it. Neurobiologically changes and helps you connect with your consciousness.
Right.
And
yeah.
It's incredible. I had my first Diksha blessing right before my 61st birthday, and it was 2 days later I was like had this awakening experience. It was just amazing where all of a sudden I woke up on my birthday and it was like I get it now, you know. You know,
mm-hmm.
It was like this is what I've been. I had been, like I said, I've been a student of Course in Miracles for 5 years, and I was getting all the intellectual aspect of it, but it was not sinking in spiritually. And then all of a sudden, it was. I just woke up and I was like, oh my gosh, this is what it really is. It's like, you know, none
mm-hmm.
of this stuff matters. I mean, you know, all this other. Like what you were talking about, what people think of you and people judging you and all that, and you know none of that really matters because it just doesn't matter, you know.
Yeah. All right. Well, listen. Thank you so much for sharing.
Okay. Thank you for letting me share.
Well, yeah. Is Dolan Hines there?
Yeah. Hey, this is one thing I wanted to mention, Wynn, because you've been doing. New shows and stuff like that. Dee, you're still unmuted. She's from Atlanta. Did you do a show down in Atlanta, and how did you hear of one?
Ask me that again, sir. What?
How did you hear Wynn? You're coming in from Atlanta. You said this is the first time you'd called in.
I was reading. Somehow downloaded his the creator's storybook, whatever. Creator,
yeah.
Want to speak with you. I read that. I'm currently reading The Law of One, and I signed up to get emails from Wynn, and so I've been in contact that way, and that's how I was alerted to the conference calls and the shows.
Okay, thank you. But Joel, hi. You can be present. If we're talking to somebody, somebody comes up and you want to ask a question, please do. Anyone else want to share something? Do a star 6. I see somebody coming in. Are you there?
Yes.
Oh, two people.
Yeah. Who do we got there?
This is Zoe. Hi, Zoe.
Hi. How are you?
Fantastic.
Good. Well, when
Zoe, did you get my email?
Yeah, that's why I'm calling.
You know, Zoe has wanted to share about her writing to our group for a long time, and I said, okay, please come in tonight. And I'm going to turn it over to Hive and let him help bring out Hive and Joel. And just remember, don't go too long because I want to let other people... come in, too.
I try to control myself.
Go ahead,
all right, Zoe, glad you're here, and great to hear your voice again. So go ahead. What do you want to share with us, Zoe?
Well, I didn't know exactly what... when I am a writer, I had an experience when I was 21, and I was seeing a folk singer in Chicago named Bob Gibson. And... I got so inspired by the light that was coming out of him and filling up the room when he played, and I thought, you know, I'd like to be able to do that, but I can't be a folk singer. And then I thought, well, but I could be a writer maybe. And so from the time I was 21 until now, when I'm in my late 70s, I have been working on writing. I went to a wonderful place in Chicago called Columbia College, where they have a very unusual program in writing. And graduated there and took it into the schools and so on. But anyway, I have I've got a book of poems. I have a poem I thought I might read, and because it applies to all of us who are Wynn's friends and who are letting him be our leader and taking us forward. So I'd like to read that if I could, and then I have fiction coming out finally for the first time on Kindle and on Amazon. So
all right.
I'm looking forward to. I'm very grateful that I've and the help I've needed to move forward with it has just shown up. So I feel like I'm really being supported, and I want to try to get it all done before it's time to go on to the big barbecue in the sky.
There's a big barbecue.
Down below, I don't know.
you just want to make sure you're not using Red Devil hot sauce.
All right.
By the way, before you read your poem, tell people the name of your stuff on Kindle so they can look it up.
Oh, okay. The first little book came out in July, and it's called 3/Chicago. It's three short stories that are all set in Chicago, and it's 99 cents. And then I have a novel that will be coming out hopefully in early February. And we're still arguing over the title of it, so I don't want to give a title yet. But I sure would appreciate, I'm trying to do a little bit of what you're doing, Lynn, with the writing, in that I want to present to people things, deeper things for them to think about through the stories. And so that's why it's important to me to try to get them published. It's not just ego, although I'm sure there's plenty of that involved, too.
Is it under Zoe Keithley?
Yeah, Zoe Keithley.
Zoe Keithley. Zoe Keithley.
Correct.
And if you bug me, one day I'll just put a link to it on one of my mailings.
Well, that would be
wonderful. And some people, for only a dollar, you can give Zoe support, read her short stories.
Yeah,
what a deal.
And even make a comment on them if you want to. And then Kindle likes you to be honest. If you think there's something that's not working well, you should say so. And if you think things are working beautifully, you should say that too. So I sure would appreciate the support, because it's taken a long time to get this far, and it's important to me. It feels like a life work to me to try to get this material out.
All right.
Let us hear
your poem.
Okay, this is a poem for a fellow traveler. So that would be all of us. I spot you far ahead, a tiny speck rounding a ridge. I wave, but you do not see me still trudging the valley, the distance too great for the gesture. Perhaps we will meet farther along the trail at some clearing where progress has given you space for rest and vista to observe the path you have been over. We might share a tin of coffee then and swap stories of the road, how the heat of the day makes the sweat roll and unforgiving stones trouble the calves. Funny and wonderful fellow travelers, knapsacks and burros all going the same way. Their strange kindnesses or unexpected gifts, as well as those from creature world, the hostel of a sudden stream, or harvest to hand, sweet juice of wild strawberries waiting deep in a secret wood. At night, the silent companionship of the stars, witnessing other constellations of light glowing within us. May hunger for us all end in strawberries, and thirst at the loving lip of a lake. May the heat of the day swell every cell until it pours forth gold. And may whatever wind ruffles our hair turn and turn until it comes from the south.
All right. Hey,
thank you.
You know what we're going to do now? I just unmuted everybody. Let's all give Zoe a hand. Are you guys ready? One, two, three.
Yay, Zoe.
Thank you.
Yay, Zoe.
Thank you, Zoe.
Thank you for giving me the chance to do it.
Oh, my pleasure. Is Ariel on the line? Ariel, are you there? Calling Ariel. All right, Ariel, you're missing your chance. All right.
Here.
Let me
I'm here, Winfrey.
She's here.
Oh, you're there. Okay.
I've been saying it for 5 minutes.
Hang on a second. I'm going to mute everybody, and then I'll unmute you. Hang on. I get this. Ariel.
She's not muted.
What? She's not muted. Where did she go?
Here, this one.
What?
We do it. This one. Ariel.
Oh, well, here she is. I see her. Ariel? Wait, I think Ariel.
You got
yeah,
Ariel,
I'm right here.
Okay, we got you. Good.
Okay.
Now, you know, Ariel has been coming into our calls for how long, Ariel?
Hold on. I guess I muted her. Wrong line. Hold on. Sorry.
Wait, Ariel, how long has been coming into our, how long has been coming into our calls?
Since Angel Valley, about 3 years.
3 years. Now, when I met Ariel, I thought she was totally crazy. And I'm still not sure that she's not, okay? She's done some of the craziest things in her life. And, but the thing is, some of the things she did reminded me of things I did. And it was like she had this wild, unabandoned spirit that was trying to not be held down. And when I was younger, I used to hitchhike around, and I would just say, I'll see where God takes me. And I'd end up, I have my guitar and astrology books, and I would end up in the most marvelous of situations. And so Ariel was getting rides from truck drivers and ending up from one truck stop to another. And she'd say, let me see who picks me up next. And then she would be calling me and saying, I'm on the way to such and such a city. And she has a background. She was accepted by some Native American tribes. You weren't born Native American, were you, Ariel?
I was adopted out, so that's what the whole thing was about, finding out where I came from.
But were you adopted out from a Native American family? No. But you ended up bonding with certain Native American tribes, right?
Yes, I bonded with them.
And they accepted you. They kind of recognized you.
Yeah,
like
the Cheyenne
maybe,
Lakota, yeah.
Which one?
Lakota and Cheyenne. I speak
Lakota
13
and
languages now, yeah.
And did you live on their reservations at all?
Yes.
Okay, and that just happened as part of traveling around with all these truck drivers, right?
I was on a generational healing. You never did understand that. I wanted to do a healing for my nation.
Okay, so you were driving around kind of holding energy everywhere, right?
Yeah.
And grounding energy, like a grid, like we do on the grid healings, but you were actually going through the land, right?
Yep. I was clearing it.
Yeah. So one of the most interesting things that Ariel told me, I can't remember when she said this, and she may have said it more than once, and it may have taken a while to say, maybe that's really possible. And she said that she thought she was the reincarnation of Sacagawea. Is that right? Did I say her name right?
Yeah. It's actually Shilagi, but...
But Sacagawea, any of you who know about the Lewis and Clark expedition, was the Indian woman guide that kind of adopted Lewis and Clark. Lewis and Clark were these two guys that mapped out a good part of the western part of the United States. And they had this Native American guide. What tribe was Sacagawea from?
Well, all tribes try to claim her, but Lakota were the strongest one.
Uh-huh.
The Cheyenne tried to.
What made you think you were...
I did the
what
reenactment.
Made you,
I did the reenactment of Lewis and Clark in 2003.
Uh-huh.
But I didn't know anything till I got here where I'm at right now.
What made you think you were Sacagawea?
Because I've been told that. I've been told I was a chosen one. I've been told it many times.
Uh-huh.
But I didn't know it till I got here. I'm on sacred ground in Loman in Idaho. And when I came here, I went down one night to these beautiful hot pots, and I found a heart necklace down there. And this heart necklace shows all the writings of the White Buffalo calf woman and how she's going to return, and it's prophetic. It's all written on the wall. And that's mm-hmm. when I found it out. I pulled out five. There's five stones of buffaloes, and it's a prayer all the way to South America. It's a prophetic prophecy. And by the only mm-hmm. one I knew it was the elders. But I didn't know about it until I got here, because I came here because I was sick and I was tired. And I saw all the warriors. I'm a seer, so I saw all the warriors. And then when I came up here, they started telling me what was going on. And this is the time when the prophecy is about peace, love, and light coming in. It talks all about it. And I wrote over there. I went over there and took some of Winfrey's writings of the Elohim, and I put them up on the rock because they read it. And they accepted him, and he called me and said, well, you did good, because the light just came hammering in. I was like, yay, finally. This is good. This is a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I had to go through a lot.
All right.
A lot. But this is a love.
Well,
this is all about the heart opening and everything. There's hearts all over this land here. It's really cool. It's written on the petroglyphs.
Hey, when people were identifying you with Sacagawea, were you aware of Sacagawea? You know who Lewis and Clark
no.
were at that time?
No, I knew.
No?
I did the reenactment, and I traveled all up in the hills. But I was on my backpack for 8 years, Winfrey.
Uh-huh.
And I traveled all over, and they were travelers. They were nomadic, and they traveled
mm-hmm.
all over. Oren was inspirational in a lot of this stuff that came through to me.
Did you know that you look like Sacagawea?
No, not until Oren told me on the phone the other night.
Yeah. Did I tell that to Oren? I looked Sacagawea up, and I said, oh, my God, I've got to take a picture of Ariel, because you're in Idaho. But I thought there was a resemblance, and Terry looked at it. Terry met Ariel, and she was living in Sedona at one point. And Terry thought Sacagawea looked like you. And then we were thinking about somebody that had the wild spirit to go, you know, to go around with these white men on their adventures of discovering the West. And I said, you know, she could have had that spirit. I'm not saying you were her, but I could see that it's kind of like traveling around with two truck drivers that are exploring, right?
Yeah, well, here's what happened. In February, I met a gentleman, and the Lord, remember how the Messiah sang to me from Carla Riker? She sang a song to me from Jesus?
Yeah.
Well, right after that, I ran into a man that he saw the Bible open, and when he did, he said, this is one of my chosen ones. And so that's when I started really getting on my path. I started flint mapping. I started making arrowheads. I started making nomadic things, you know, it started coming back to me, and I started doing it here. That's when I got sick down here. And they found out, I've done some information that's come to me, that Sacagawea, one of her monuments is at Salmon, but the other one's in South Dakota. That's where they say she's buried, in South Dakota. And they've been asking me, the Ogallala have been asking me to come to South Dakota in the spring.
Mm-hmm.
Right now,
all right.
Now I'm resting, but
all
the love and light. And can we just pray for those dolphins right now? We've got dolphin energy going all the way to South America. I'm from here in Loman. I've got beautiful heart grid up right now, and any prayers you guys can send would be just awesome.
Okay, let's just take 30 seconds of silence and send energy that way, okay?
Aww.
And
Five minutes
to the end of the show. Okay, so let's go on. Thank you, Ariel, for sharing.
Thank you.
And
for your plans. We sure need.
Ariel, I got to cut you off.
That's
but
okay.
We're doing it. Thank you for being on our calls. Okay.
Yeah.
And anyone else?
Press
go on once.
Press star 6 if you want to speak.
Yeah, press star 6 if you want to speak. I see Mike Diaz on the line. Hi, Mike. Mike is a guy that really loves our tendons. And is this one of the greatest testimonials.
Hey, Wynn, how's it going?
Hey, Mike. How are you? I'm glad
I'm
to have
very
you.
Well, thank you. You know, if
say hello.
I guess if one thing, if I could share it with the group, is I don't know if anyone's familiar with Organite, but I just recently familiarized myself with the Organite, and I like to share that with everyone to help sort of boost your energy and turn negative energy into positive energy. So it's a really great thing to Google and look up, and if it resonates with you, hey, go with it. Organite.
All right. By the way, while we're just thinking things to recommend, a friend of mine who is an expert on alternative health, I was having a conversation with him today, and he mentioned there's this one product out there that has been working, that he's been recommending it for people with cancer, and it's really been miraculous, and it's not expensive, and it's called, Terry,
cell
what
food?
Was it called? Cell food.
Cell food?
Yeah, go to cellfood.com. They're not going to say it's good for cancer, but look up cell food, testimonials, cancer. Cell food, one word, testimonials, cancer.
How do you spell it?
C-E-L-L-F-O-O-D, okay? And it's supposedly available in health food stores, but no one's going to tell you it's good for cancer because they'll go to jail, especially if they're selling it. And so, you know, if you're going to take it or you're going to try it, you know, tell your doctor and, you know, I have to say that as a disclaimer, we can't recommend something for cancer, but if you look, do a search on the internet, cell food, testimonials, just do cell food testimonials because it's good for a lot of stuff. And,
you can find that at a vitamin shop.
You can find it in a vitamin shop, right. It's in vitamin shops, but nonetheless, no one's going to give you the information unless you Google it and find people that put up testimonials, because it is too controversial in this country to for anyone to sell a product that's good for cancer. But my friend was telling me he was getting a 90% cure rate, even for terminal cancer. Terminal, okay? And he stopped recommending it because he didn't want to get in trouble. And he wasn't even selling it. But so, in any case, let's see here. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to mute everybody. Everyone's muted. We got like 2 minutes, and let's see if this works. We're gonna. I'm not going to tell the story. We don't have time. But it has to do with 3 years ago when. Terry and I were trying to channel in downtown L.A., and Michael Jackson had just passed and was in the morgue, and Terry was telling me, I can't get through. There's all this anger on the line. And then she said, oh, my God, it's Michael Jackson. And so I had the tape recorder out. We had a few conversations, and then I'm not going to tell you the whole story, but we're going to close tonight with Terry. I asked Michael, could Terry sing one of your songs? And here's what happened. I hope this plays.
Okay, go ahead.
The words to beat it aren't... There's different tracks that are all put together for beat it. It's like one of the tracks, beat it, beat it. Beat it, and then there's another track that's put on top of it. So that's all I have to share right now.
Okay, thanks.
You're welcome back.
All right, guys. Our crazy show. Thank you for being here. And I'll unmute everybody. It is 7:55. Get your questions ready for Wednesday.
Are you doing a call Wednesday? It's Christmas.
Wednesday? We may do. I don't know. Do you guys want me to do a call on Christmas?
I'll listen if you're on.
All those people, we don't have anything planned.
Have a Merry Christmas! So.